Well, we're in a series, and that series is called Fighting for Your Family. And so I'm going to go back to that series. I have at least two more messages I'll be sharing in this series. And, you know, your issue may not be your personal mate, but almost every one of us know of people that are having struggles. So we need answers. So if my home is experiencing an attack of the enemy, then I need to make sure that I get all the things into place concerning. Or if I know of someone, then I want the Lord to have me full of answers. Amen? So I can help people that are going through that situation. Now, I'm on a particular set of messages in this series, and we're talking about family secrets. And I love this because we're talking about how to take spiritual principles and apply those principles toward our family. Now, what happens a lot of times with people, because we get religious. We don't mean to, but we just, after we do something over a period of time, we get religious. And we'll find ourselves fighting for our church in a way that we've never thought about fighting for our family. Or we will find ourselves believing God for our neighbor, and we've never thought about believing God for our mate, you know. I mean, I'm just amazed at myself at times. At how unaware I may be. But the Holy Spirit, if I say the Holy Spirit, is there to remind us and to help us and to lead us. And so we're stirring up. Some principles may be new to you. Some may be just real old principles, but we're stirring them up so we can allow the Lord, principles of the Lord or the Lord's secrets for battle to be involved in and over our family. And really, it's just the Lord bringing us to a real point of trusting Him. Being able to trust God. And I must be able to trust God like I trust God for a job, or I trust God over my paycheck, or I trust God over my health. I've got to be able to release that faith over my family. Because, see, there is no success if I can't believe God where I live for that to be a success. Now, that's if you're going through a problem there, please don't feel that's a knock against you. Because just know, man, the devil's got you under attack because he knows that your family is going to be something really special. And so you're under attack of the enemy. And so the Lord wants to help you. And the way that we learn a lot of principles is at the heat of the battle. Man, when it gets rough and when things get tough, man, I'll learn principles that I won't really pay much attention to when things are good. So if you're going through a rough time or you know the people, then just know the Lord's not against you. He's on your side. And He's on our side because most of the Bible is filled. That's why there's over 7,000 promises. Because God knew that we would be a people that needed promises. And we needed the supply. So the Lord provided over 7,000 dealing with every issue of life. There's not a circumstance in life that God cannot help us and deal with us on. So now, the process is that we want to come from being a broken family. And this, you know, some of the greatest breaks in family are underneath. There's things that's never discussed, never talked about. But they're there. They're underneath. They're underlining. Now, some breaks are obvious. Man, they're out front where everybody can see them. But those can usually find help. But where that they're more subtle is the place that is harder sometimes to find help and to get help. And so, but we want to see the Lord. If God can mend an arm, God can mend a marriage. If God can mend a body, God can mend a home. And so we've just got to believe the Lord for that. So we're calling it family secrets. Now, the first family secret we talked about the other night was the area of forgiveness. Being able to forgive. And I want to just quickly cover this, just a quick moment, because this one is an ongoing issue almost all the time in every family. John 20 says, "Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." What that means is I have the power within myself, I can ask God to forgive those that I love. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have to ask God to forgive you eventually, but what that does mean, that I can remove that load off of you of judgment. If you've done me wrong, then there's a judgment that's against you. You won't feel good. You won't feel right in church. And I'm amazed at families that don't understand that. That they want family members to come to the church and get it between the eyes. That's not what you want. That won't bring anybody to God. What brings people to God is the goodness of God. and for people to realize how good the Lord is. So you don't want them to feel the judgment. I mean, that's the way God has to deal with sinners. But you don't want people to have to feel the judgment. You want people to feel the mercy of God. And so we become extenders of God's mercy. This principle works so wide. I had a young man came to me one time, and he was telling me about his father. His father had been an alcoholic ever since, I believe, he'd been born, or ever since he was a young child. And he said, my father, and this young man had been saved, and been saved for a number of years. And he said, I can never get him to even think about God, and I'm getting so concerned. He said, he's getting up in age, and I can't even talk to him about God. I can't mention God to him. And this young man was really, really upset, but he had a lot of love. I said, I want you to try something. There's a lot of judgment on you, Dad, and that's what's making him hard, because that's obvious. But I said, I want you to begin to ask God to forgive your dad. And I want you, by faith, to be in a position there. The greatest way we can ever be like Jesus is to take up a cross and follow him. The greatest example that I can ever be of Jesus is to be a sin bearer, like Jesus was a sin bearer. Now, I can't pay the price for a sin, but I can help bring things to the cross. And I told this young man, I said, I want you to try this. I want you to start asking God to forgive your daddy for his sins, based on this scripture right here. Now, we can argue with that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit our theology. It doesn't fit my theology. But the scripture says that if I forgive, God forgives. Amen. If I retain, then God retains. And so I said, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive. And that young man started. I think he prayed for right at a week. He started bringing his father's sins before the Lord and asking God to forgive him. And then he would receive by faith that all that he could do and all that he could receive, that according to this scripture, that God's forgiveness was in this father's life. Now, let me say again, that doesn't mean that that father would not have to repent. From that time, 2 weeks later, that dad, for the first time, gave his heart to Jesus Christ and came out of alcoholism. I tell you what, we want judgment. But judgment is not what convinces people of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God. I mean, the judgment, when judgment works, is when that brick wall totally knocks you down and you're broken apart in 10 million pieces and you get up from those little pieces and you say, oh God, I can finally see you. If that's what you want your family to go through, I don't want my family to go through that. I want them to find the goodness of God. I want them to respond to the goodness of God. So what you do, you learn to stand in that barrier. But that's the issue that it is. We come to the Lord and we find this one. Now, you have to deal with this with a mate. But see, a lot of times our hard-heartedness wants our mate to realize they were wrong. And so we try to hold this issue against them. And all it really does is make them harder and makes us harder. That's all it does. It's not that you want, you sure you want them to see the wrong that they're doing. But I'm going to tell you, the goodness of the Holy Spirit is the one that's able to reveal that to them. If I will go the extra mile, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, that if I see a brother sin or sin that's not unto death, it tells me I should pray for him. That tells me what I should do. If I see someone sin, I shouldn't talk about them. I really shouldn't judge them. But I need to pray for them. And the Bible says that response will be that God will give them life. Amen. And I tell you what, if you want life to flow in your mate, what's happening with most problems in families is the life is gone. Life is gone. Do you understand? Judgment has come. A lot of times they continue on in some type of ritual, religious type of serving God. But if you want the real life of Christ involved in, then when you see those that you love deeply fail, you cry out for the forgiveness of the Lord. And you begin to practice principles and scriptures that are deeper, possibly, than some of our shallow religions. And to begin to move to a place to really be able to trust God. So in our heart, we choose to be forgivers. We choose to be lovers. You have to make a choice for that in life. And let me tell you, that is a prerequisite for being a minister. Oh, I know everybody wants to think that the prerequisite to be a minister is to be able to preach or be able to teach or be able to know something. That's not the prerequisite. The prerequisite for ministry is to be a lover. If you can be a good lover, then you can be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the ministry, what is involved with on a continual basis, is overlooking people's faults and crying out to God for forgiveness for people and helping that person find that relationship back with God. Amen. So if you're big into judging, I dare say the ministry is far from you. If you're big in pointing fingers, then dare say the ministry is far from you. But if you want to be a lover, you're close to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? And you'll also be close in your home, in your marriage. Now, we want to release from the bondages. All right, 1 John 5:16 said, if you see your Christian brother or sister sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will what? Give him life. We have the power to release people out of their cages. We have the power to release people. We have the power to open up their cage and to let them go free. All right, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Now, the Word of God says in Mark chapter 3, listen to this carefully. There's nothing done or said that cannot be forgiven. We've got to just jumped off again, Stephen. There's nothing said or done that cannot be forgiven. There's nothing said or done that cannot be forgiven. God is willing to help us to be able to forgive. And if we have a problem with forgiveness, then we have a problem. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We've got to allow God. If you're having a problem forgiving somebody in your family, that's not their problem, honey. That's your problem. You've got to come to a place. If you can see the forgiveness of the Lord over your own life, if you can see that your life was at a place where you needed desperately for God to forgive you, then you find it's easy to forgive people. But if you find yourself in a place where you find yourself hard to forgive people, that's because you're not seeing the sinfulness of your own life a lot of times. You're not seeing where you really are. You're not really seeing you as the right situation. Because when you begin to see, we're desperate for God. I'm desperate for God's forgiveness every day. I'm desperate for God's love in my life. I'm desperate for God's power in my life. When you come to those situations, then it's easier to forgive others. Amen. So the area of forgiveness is of vital importance, and I just wanted to mention that again tonight and probably every night because it's just so important. Unless we forgive, we cannot be forgiven. God can't help us in any of our marriages unless we're willing to forgive. And the process of forgiving is forgetting. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to where that we can forgive people for their failure. And a lot of parents are holding such grudges against children. And because of that, the children can never get above that load. And a lot of men are holding grudges against wives, and the wife can never get above that. But we've got to be good at forgiving, and we've got to be good at forgetting. There's a part of you that must work good, and that is your forgetter. You must know for sure that I've got to keep my forgetter working. And what that means is that possibly you won't forget the issue, but God will in length of time. God does. God wipes away. So there have been many things in my life I thought I'll never, ever forget this. And then 2 months down the road, I really couldn't remember what that issue was. God has a way of depowering things, defanging things. If we will allow God to forgive and we will be willing to act in his heart and forgive, then God will defang it. It's just like taking the poison out of that snake, that it literally has no more power to bring harm into our life. Amen. Why don't we just think about this just for a quick moment? That may be why the Lord's given us a lingering. I sense a lingering at this. Let's just take a moment and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to really take a review of us. And let's just take a moment to release people that we're holding grudges against. Because as long as that grudge is there, we'll never, ever, ever grow beyond it. It is a anchor around us that will not let us go. So why don't we just take a quick moment. Let's just bow our heads before the Lord. And I want you, if you would, to think about that one that you need to forgive. And that you've had a struggle with forgiving. And I want you to choose to love the Lord enough to forgive them and to release them. Now, I know many of you, this is not an easy issue because, man, you've really been hurt. Some of you have really been damaged. Some of you have really been sinned against. Some of you have really been talked hard to. But in the name of Jesus, God can give you the grace and the strength to release that and to forgive them. So why don't you just with your mouth, it's important that we do it with our mouth. Why don't you just say, Lord, I choose to forgive them. And I choose, Lord, to release them. I release them from that cage, Lord. I release them. And I forgive them. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive them. And I ask you now, Lord, by you, precious Holy Spirit, Lord, I believe that you're working in accordance with your word, that as you're forgiving them, that now the precious Holy Spirit can bring conviction into their life. Because, Lord, I choose to remove that judgment. I choose to allow that judgment to be laid aside. I choose to trust you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. So I just love that scripture. They said there's nothing that's been done or said that cannot be forgiven. Amen. And so I want to let's skip over here to powerful key number two and talk about words. We just got to barely start this tonight because this is one of the most damaging things that happens in any home or in any relationships. The number one thing we've got to determine, I'm going to stop damaging words. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to get a hold to my spirit enough to where I'm going to quit speaking damaging words into our relationship. Or I'm going to quit speaking damaging words into our children's lives. Now, the book of Job is so interesting. It has such powerful verses that just kind of cut us at times. That's why Job chapter 19, verse 2 does. It said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? This is what Job said. At the times when he was troubled the most, when it looked like judgment was the hardest on him, he said, and this is what he spoke about those of his friends. He said, how long will you torment my soul? I don't know if that's what words do. Some of you tonight are living with torment because of things that people have said into your life. People that things they may have spoke that to you as a child, or you may have had a mate speak that hurtful thing to you, or you may have been spoken to by some significant authority in your life. But it brings a tormenting. This word tormenting is the word vex. It means it's a vexation. It almost traumatizes us. Words have that power and have that ability. We have to make a decision to no longer participate with the enemy and allowing ourselves to have a loose mouth. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 12 is real good because it tells me to grow up and begin to be responsible for the words I say. And in Matthew chapter 12 verse 36 says, and I tell you this, you must give an account. I love the way the Lord says that. Say, you must give an account. You've got to give account for the words you say. Whether those words have produced good or whether those words have produced evil, you must give an account for it. There's only one place to do it, and that is to bring it to the cross. We have to take responsibility for our words. Amen? Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it throws some more enlightenment on words that we can speak into our family. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This scripture tells me that if I'm speaking damaging words, that's because something is wrong in my heart. If I'm going to, the Bible tells me as long as I allow something be wrong in my heart, I'm not going to be able to hold back damaging words. I've counseled so many couples down through the years where they would simply try to stop in some type of flesh way to stop saying damaging words. You can't stop it with your mouth. You can only stop it with your heart. Because words are a heart issue. If I'm saying damaging words, I'm speaking it out of my heart. The Bible says that I will bring forth out. And the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What are you speaking in abundance? And a lot of times we think, I've said 15 negative things today. But I've said one good thing. And we think that one good thing is going to override all the bad things. Not so. It's the abundance. What are you speaking in abundance? What are you speaking? What is coming more out of you? That's what this scripture says. That out of the abundance is coming out of your heart. What are you speaking? Are you speaking more? Are you speaking more of love, more gentleness, more of kindness, more of care? Or are you speaking words of hurt and pain, difficulty, anger, resentment, bitterness? If that's coming out of me, the Bible says there is something wrong in my heart. There's a truth. The truth is I must take responsibility for every negative word that I have spoken. I must take a responsibility. If I'm going to see God do something miraculous in my family, I must come to a place to where I'm going to take responsibility. It's not my power and in my power to change you, but it is within my power to change me. I can allow God to do a work within me that will so move God to where God can do a work in you. But it doesn't start with you. It starts with me allowing God to do a great work deep within me. Amen. So I just determined I'm going to quit being like I've been. I'm going to begin to take responsibility for the negative words that I've spoken. Now the Bible said, do not be deceived. It said, God is not mocked. Now this is, this is a powerful principle, a New Testament principle. And God knew that our minds would fight it. And God knew that our flesh would fight it. That's why he said, don't be deceived. Because I'm deceived if I think that I can speak hard things into my family and my family turn out good. I'm being deceived. The Bible said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen. Now the rest part of that says, the rest part of that verse says, for he who sows to his flesh. My flesh is my problem. My flesh is my problem. It's not my spirit. My flesh is my problem. And the Bible tells me that if I speak out of my flesh, that I'm going to reap corruption. I don't want that for my family. I don't want that, but if I allow that, it's what's going to happen. That's why God said, God will not be mocked. And he begins this present, don't be deceived. Don't think any other way. Do not think any other way than this. If I allow my mouth to be used by my flesh, it's going to be corruption for my family. Amen. But if I was to begin to sow in the Spirit, or to the Spirit, or from the Spirit, if I'll begin to shut my mouth until I sense that I've got control of this thing, and I can really speak out of my heart. And if I will make sure that I'm speaking spirit words, the Bible says that it will turn into an everlasting life. It will turn into an abundant life. It'll turn into a blessed life. It'll turn into a happy family. If I will get control, amen. Like, how do I take responsibility? I know I'm supposed to take responsibility. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says that I will be judged in accordance with the words that I speak. So I've got to take responsibility. So how do I begin to do this thing? All right, Mark chapter 11, we begin to find spiritual insight. It said the next morning they passed by the fig tree that he had cursed, talking about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Jesus came to a fig tree. He's found it unfruitful. We've got to realize when there's things that we've produced in our families that are unfruitful, we've got to understand that we are responsible to do something about it. The Bible says that every morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered up from the roots. Amen. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed. What did Jesus do with unfruitful things? He cursed it. A lot of times we just want people to forget them. People can't forget them. Once we speak words, words are life. They're out there. They're in the air. And they can't go away. But we can have the power and authority to help remove those words from people's hearts. And I believe this with all of my heart. That if I can do everything spiritually that God can help me do to stop those words that I planted and those words that I shot into people's lives as bombs. If I will do everything that I can do to stop those things, God will help me. And God will move it by his power. And what I can't do is remove it from your mind. But I'm going to tell you what, God has the power. So if I can be moved spiritually to do the right thing and to do the right thing in faith, then I can depend on God to do everything that I can't do. Amen. All right, so Peter remembered and he noticed, Jesus, that was unfruitful, you cursed it. Amen. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he said, this is a lesson. The next verse, he said, this is a lesson. You can have this God kind of faith too. The Lord put a principle there into his children. The principle and the ability of when you see that is unfruitful. That we have the authority in Christ, I believe that through prayer. To number one, to take responsibility. To number one is to repent for that. And say, Lord, I'm sorry those words were spoken. I'm sorry I ever said that out of my mouth. I'm sorry I ever allowed that to come out of me. And Lord, I ask you, in Jesus' name, first to forgive me. And then all of a sudden, if I'm willing to do that, then that moves me into a level of authority. And then in the authority of Christ, I simply curse those words. I tell you what, I've got this down by heart. I haven't had to say it so many times. I've said this statement so many times between here and my house, I can't even tell you. At least thousands of times. And I say, I curse every thought, word, and deed that I've taken part in that was not in the will of God or for the glory of God. I curse those words and I command them to die. I forbid them to live, and I forbid them to produce any fruit, and I forbid them to ever live in the lives of those that are spoken to. That from this moment forward, I truly believe that our God is big enough and strong enough to destroy those words that I spoke in the flesh, and I've repented for in Jesus' name. Now, I can say that in my sleep, because I've had to understand. Number one, I had to be repentant for the words I spoke. And then number two, I had to do it like God would do it. And the Lord said, I can have his faith. That's what he said here. Have the faith of God. So we can move into those arenas that we failed. That we've spoken hard things. Harsh things. Evil things. Hurtful things. Damaging things. We can take a responsibility. And I do believe with all my heart, if I can do everything I can do to wipe it out underneath, then God will bring it to a place to help me to wipe it out on top too. Amen. And the Lord will give me a time and give me a place to help me to sit before those same people. You know, when I was facing the illness that I was facing a while back, and everything was pointing toward what was happening negatively, and I had every symptom, and I was just telling Elaine, it's so good to be healed. I tell you, it is so good. I feel healed. Now, for the first several weeks, it was all by faith. But, man, I feel healed so good. I feel well. But in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to me and said, Jerry, you got to take responsibility for the failures you've done. And I said, Lord, I've taken responsibility for as asking you to forgive me. And the things that I knew that I know one time, repenting of anything one time is enough. But some of the hardest issues in my life, I had repented of many, many, many times. Not because God took that, because I had to be convinced. And in that process, though, during that time, the Lord had me sit down and write a series of letters. Going all the way back to my childhood. Going all the way back to probably I was 10, 11 years old. And I wrote a letter to everyone that I could remember that I had failed. And I simply said that. I said, you may not even remember this, and you may not even know it, but I know it. And I want my heart to be right with God. And I ask you to forgive me. And I tell you what, I got the sweetest letters back. One letter said, Jerry, I forgave you for that long, long time ago. There's a way that God brings us to cleanse ourselves. Amen. And then to be able. But in a family, the words are spoken so many times and they're so hurtful and they'll last for years if you let it. Or you have the authority to take responsibility for them. And you have the authority Jesus has given to you to say, Lord, those words that I spoke into people's lives that were so damaging. Let me tell you, they still will try to live for years unless you take authority over them and you curse them. That's what Jesus told us to do to it. Jesus said, things that are unfruitful, we have the responsibility. And we have the unction of faith. And the Bible says, have the faith of God. We have faith to speak to those things and command them to die. For so many years, I was so angry. And during that period of time, I said so many hurtful, hard things. But I'm so thankful. I don't believe one of those things still lives today. Because in the authority of Jesus' name, that fig tree died quickly for the glory of God. Amen. I know it's time to close, so why don't we just close it that way? We didn't. There's a lot, so much on words, and so I'm going to come back and talk to you about words. Because there is a way to stop words before they're words. God can help us. The Bible says the way I transform my life is to learn to think differently with my mind. In fact, that's the whole process of this whole life. When I gave my heart to Jesus, that day I was ready for heaven. But my head was still attached to so much of this world. And so God has given me this lifespan since I've been saved for me to learn to think differently. To think differently about things, to think differently about people, to think differently about leadership, to think differently about forgiveness, to think differently about all these things. And I can always tell, and you can too, when you think right. Because when you think right, there's one emotion that is above all the other ones. And that is the emotion of love and joy. The Bible said now about a faith, hope, and love. Every one of those are so important. Three powerful ways to release God into this world. But the Bible says the greatest way is through love. And so I've got to learn to think differently if I'm ever going to get it controlled here. I've got to allow my soul to be saved as my heart was saved the moment I gave it to Jesus. The moment I gave my heart to Jesus, my heart was saved. I was ready for heaven. But it's my head that's got to be changed. That's why the Bible says true transformation takes place through the renewal of our mind. Amen. How many of you know someone right here tonight? You're here. And you say, Jerry, I know I've spoken hard words that I need to take responsibility for. I just want to, man, I just believe in just throwing the covers off of whatever we have and just being exposed. But if you know that you've spoken some things that you know that you need to take a responsibility for, I want you to stand right where you're sitting. Would you do that? The goodness of God draws us to repentance. And the wonderful thing about it is now that God's given us time. God gave us tonight. God gave us this evening service. He's loved us enough to where not only we can receive the forgiveness by taking the responsibility for Him, but we can see God destroy every one of those things that the devil would try to use against us, against our family, against our love. Every one of those. Let's do that. Would you pray with me? Would you say, Father, I come tonight to take responsibility for the words that I've said. Words that I've so spoken. Wheels that I put into motion airways that are still flowing with those words that were not from you. So the Bible tells me, and I choose not to be deceived. Because when I spoke words from my flesh, they will bring corruption. Lord, that's not my desire. I desire to speak out of my heart, out of my spirit. I desire, Lord, to speak love words, joy words, kind words, gentle words, sweet words, tender words, loving words, caring words, compassionate words. Because that's what you do, Jesus. Every time you've spoken to me, Lord, you've always spoken to me in love words. So I receive right now by faith your forgiveness. Now I want you to sense something. I want you to allow your imagination to be used by something that the Lord can use in your life. I want you to sense. I want you to ask the Lord to start a cleansing right here and to just come all the way down. And some of you will be able to sense that. Some of you will be able to sense that. Lord, do that. Lord, just start that cleansing up here. Let it come all the way down, Lord. Let it come all the way down. Cleanse me. Because not only does the Bible say the Lord forgives us, He cleanses us. He cleanses us in Jesus' name. Now let's move over into that authority. Because by us repenting, that allows us to move into the authority realm. So now we have authority. Everybody say, I got authority. I'm not a perpetrator anymore. I'm a healer. I'm a healer like my Father, the healer. So in the name of Jesus, every word, every thought, every action, every deed that I have taken part in, that I have participated in, that was not in the will of God, that was not for the glory of God, that did not show forth the love of God, in Jesus' name, I curse it. I command those words to die, to never live again, and to never be able to produce in the minds or the hearts of those that heard those words in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I believe that just like Peter, the Bible says the very next morning, he returned and he was shocked because he saw that it withered from the root so quickly. I believe, Lord, your power is quickly working now. I believe, Lord, that you're removing it from the minds of the hearers. And Lord, those that I would need to apologize to, that I would need that next level, then I ask you to open up that opportunity, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the kindness. Don't let me go there trying to justify myself, but just let me to walk in the humility of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.